Excuse me. Well, welcome to Mormons of the Movies, How Hollywood Sees the Saints. First thing in our day today, our presenter is Chris Hicks, who, as many of you know, is the movie critic for the Deseret News and for KSL, and you can line up and bash him over the movies that you liked that he didn't like after it's over. He's already had his taste this morning.
I don't think you have to encourage that.
It happens naturally. Chris Hicks is an interesting combination of things, which is probably what makes him a good critic. He's a convert to the church. He served in the Army and in Vietnam. He is part of the great American tradition of the combined family. He has, what, 23 children altogether? Not quite that, but close. Let's see, 5 plus 7. He has 12 children altogether and a number of grandchildren, so he's done his churchly duty of reproducing and reproducing and reproducing. He attended Weber State College, and in this nest of academic vipers is willing to admit he did not finish his degree, but that's probably another reason that he's so good at... Well, you wrote it down on your bio. He has been with the Deseret News since 1980. Is that right? Full-time 1980. Did you start a little bit earlier, 1978? And now, as you know, also does KSL-TV and radio, and I'm sure this is going to be interesting. At the end, we do not have a comment or a response. It will be questions from the audience, and if you'll ask the questions, I'll repeat them into the microphone, or Chris can repeat them into the microphone so they'll be on the tape.
Well, let me say... Wow. You should wait. You may change your mind. Let me say, first of all, this is not a formal paper, as most of the presentations here are. And the reason I was asked to do this, Cindy Dolly called me up because he found out I was going to do a book on this subject, which I have made a deal to do with a publisher. But I'm not really involved in that because they wanted a different book first, so I'm writing that one. So this one is like a year off or way down the road, and I haven't really done as much research on it as I would like to do, but she still wanted me to do this. So what I did was put together a tape of all kinds of clips where Mormons are represented in one way or another in the movies. And I've kind of classified them and put them in a strange kind of order. And I'm going to pass out a sheet here that will give you a look at exactly what's on the tape, if you want to just pass these around. No, it's not a test. This is just what's on the tape in the order it's on the tape, because obviously I did this at home. It's very sloppy editing. It's not great high-quality video. And also there are no supers to tell you which movie is which. So this is to help you keep up with what you're seeing on the screen. Now, I'll just start it off with an introduction, and if I can figure out how to work this foreign language VCR remote, I will occasionally pause it, and we'll talk about movies as we go along. But we'll have to have the lights down, obviously, so you can see the what's on the screen. So if you have questions, either save them to the end, or if you want to interrupt, that's okay. And we can talk about things as we go along. But obviously, these film clips do have sound, and the sound is integral to what I'm trying to show you as we go through the clip. So if we can maybe wait until there's a pause between, or if I pause the tape, if you have something you want to say, then that's fine with me. Pardon me? Well, we'll see when we turn it on here what it looks like. I'll just start off with a little visual introduction. This is the first part here. This is kind of an overview that I picked out of little scenes of how Mormons have been represented in the movies over the years.
Been a white man and a Mormon.
Blamed if I know.
About 50 wives.
Are you people Mormons?
That's right, son.
That's why I keep my hat on all the time, so my horns won't show. Why, I got more wives than Solomon himself. At least that's what folks around here say. And if they don't say it, they think it.
Every time that girl goes by, this game slows to a crawl.
Well, in your horns, Bill, she's a Mormon. Mormons don't tolerate gamblers or... gamblers.
Hey, is there any truth to that story about the Mormons having a secret gold mine?
They pay for everything in gold nuggets.
Yeah, but has anybody ever seen the mine?
It ain't polite to ask to be shown things like that.
Pausing that to tell you that I obviously left that off the sheet. That's a film called Blood Arrow, and you'll see another scene from that in a minute.
Where from?
Illinois, originally. I am Jacob Woodling. This is my wife, Sarah.
And who might this fine young lady be?
Her name is Elizabeth Woodling.
Your sister?
No, my wife.
Your wife? I thought that one was your wife.
They both are.
Holy Moses, they're Mormons!
You leave a hymn, nice work, old man!
More.
You're a Mormon girl, you talk like that?
You bet your ass. Oh.
Well, when do we leave?
Don't you want them to catch the killers?
It is the Lord God who will deal with them, not the police.
Do you know who killed him?
It is not your business. It is not the business of any Gentile.
By Gentile, I guess you mean anyone who isn't a Mormon.
Information on him? Does he have any sort of record?
Nope. Got a big family down there. and a big farm. About all I know.
Are there Mormons out there?
Mormons? Is that what this is all about?
Well, that's what this is all about. And as you can see by those brief clips, that gives you an idea of how Mormons are looked at. And don't turn on the lights, because we're going to go right back to clips in just a second. This is just to give you a quick overview of the fact that we are not the only ones who feel we are a peculiar people. Obviously, Hollywood, and I use Hollywood as a generic term to mean movie makers. All of these films weren't made in Hollywood, of course. Hollywood perceives Mormons in a very interesting way. I said in the little notes that I sent to Cindy that aside from Catholics, I think Mormons as a religious group have been portrayed in movies more than any other religious group. And that may sound like an exaggeration until you think about it. There are some movies about the Amish. There are movies about the Jewish, of course. There are, but not as a religious people generally, in another context, as a cultural people. There are a lot of movies about various religions, and sometimes they are named and sometimes they are generic. But aside from Catholics, who of course have about 49 billion movies about them, I think Mormons probably have been portrayed in the movies more than any other specific religious group. And part of that has to do with the fact that we're part of America's history and there were so many Westerns made about Mormon pioneers. But part of it is also because we tend to be a nice cubbyhole for movie makers that are looking for stock villains or some prim and prudish group of people, even in a modern-day context, which I think you'll see as we go along and start showing more of these clips. Okay, we're going to move into the silent era and show you some clips from three movies here you'll see on your sheet, starting with a little 1.5-minute short that was done by Thomas Edison in 1905, and I've added some music to these. It may not seem appropriate, but it's what I had and it was convenient. So, what you see here is a polygamist figuring out a way to give all of his children a drink of water at once. Now, this next film is called The Mormon Maid. This is a very ominous movie about Mormon pioneers and how they go after converts. And when I say go after, I mean go after. The family you see here are non-members. And when they have a run-in with the Mormons decide they either convert or they're in big trouble. Now you can see what looked like Prussian helmets on Ku Klux Klansmen. And look at the strange symbols as well. These are actually identified in the film as Danites, who apparently, the Danites, according to this movie, went through all kinds of rituals to convert non-members. Even though the mother has killed herself because her husband joined the sect, her daughter manages to escape with some help from her boyfriend. Now, this next film is a picture called Trapped by the Mormons, which has been shown at the Tower Theater occasionally. Some of you may have seen it. It's a British film from 1922. And it's a very campy, hokey look at a Mormon missionary in England recruiting young women to be his wives as well as members of the church. And he does it by means of his mesmeric powers. Yes, I was going to plug it. I'll just say that a friend of mine who runs the Tower Theater, Greg Tanner, and I decided that we've had so many requests for this movie, Trapped by the Mormons, that we would release it ourselves. It's a public domain print, so I've done a little introduction at the front of it, and we got Blaine Gale, who does music for the silent films at the Organ Loft, to do an original score. And it is a very funny film. It doesn't mean to be, of course, but it's so inaccurate in its portrayal of the church. Now, in this scene, he's trying to recruit this young woman that he's obviously fallen in love with, but he doesn't want to be too overt. So he tells her to come back after she's been at work for the day, and he'll talk to her about his message. You will come back. You will come back. A really good research here, as you can see. Baptismal ceremony. You'll notice the clothing seems to remember more that of the Catholic Church than what's worn in our church. But watch particularly when the girl enters the water, how the baptism is conducted and what he does as she comes back out of the water. Watch his hands closely when she rises up out of the water. I think they warmed that pool. What do you think? Did you catch it? Baptism by sprinkling. Then they say, next. Now, we're laughing about this and kind of having fun with this. And this particular film, as I say, really is very funny and campy. If we thought it was too negative, we wouldn't have released it in general, or certainly wouldn't have put my name on it, because we didn't want to offend anyone. But at the time when these films came out, in particular this film in England, they did cause great concern for the church, because they did influence people and make people think that the church was made up of these monsters who were going to run off with their daughters and carry them away to the wide crystal temple at the foot of the Salt Lake or whatever it is. And it was a serious concern back then, even though now it's obviously just a campy romp. Well, in the mid-1930s, as some of you may know, there was a production code that went into effect in Hollywood. And that production code indicated that, among other things, you could not make fun of any religious organization. They had all kinds of rules, you know, like if two people were going to be in bed together, even if they were married, one of them had to have their foot on the floor. Obviously, there was no swearing, bad guys could not win, all this sort of thing. So they had all these different rules, and one of them was about religious groups. And so as a result, we didn't see Mormons in movies for about 10 years. Then, in 1940... they had the production of Brigham Young, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. And it was a film that the church was concerned about at the time, but Heber J. Grant, who was president, gave them their blessing, told them to go ahead, we'll take our chances, see what we get. And even though it was not a completely historically accurate film, President Grant felt that it was still a positive image for the church, and certainly better than anything that had gone before in cinema. So he encouraged the members to see it and to support it. Now, we're going to go through that film, Wagon Master, which was a film by John Ford, and I think it really is one of the best films on this list. If you have not seen Wagon Master, that film is available on video, and I highly recommend it. It's an old-fashioned Ford Western about a Mormon wagon train that's accompanied by a couple of young rousters who are actually selling horses in the area, and they agree to accompany the wagon train and help them out. They've been thrown out of this Western town. And a couple of bad guys join up with the train, a family of bad guys, actually, one of them played by James Arness. And they kind of hide out in this Mormon wagon train so they won't get caught. Now, I've just selected some clips that have some interesting dialogue and also some of the vistas of Monument Valley that were used in that film. Then the B-movie Blood Arrow, the musical Paint Your Wagon, the musical comedy with Clint Eastwood and Lee Marvin. Then They Call Me Trinity, which is an Italian Western, which starred Terence Hill and made quite a big star of him in the early 70s. It's an Italian film in English. It's a spaghetti western in the same tradition as Clint Eastwood's Dollar Trilogy, except that it was a parody of those. And then The Duchess and the Dirtwater Fox, which will indicate, show you how Mormons were generally portrayed as polygamous. And notice in The Duchess and the Dirtwater Fox, which is a Goldie Hawn film, how the polygamist in that film, how much he looks like Brigham Young. And then finally, we'll wrap it up with the other version of Brigham Young's story, Brigham, which was made in 1979, and we'll talk about that when we get there.
Is this where Joseph Smith lives?
Yes.
Well, we'd like to talk to him, please.
Well, you'll find him out yonder, the other side of the lake, chopping wood.
Thank you, ma'am.
Anybody know who plays Joseph Smith?
That sounds kind of funny for a prophet to be out swinging an axe. Don't seem just right. Prophet ought to act like a prophet. You can't expect to build a church if he acts like a farmhand. Good morning. How do you do, sir? I'm Brigham Young. This is my friend, Heber Kimball.
I'm glad to meet you.
Well, we've come a long ways to see you. We want to ask you some questions about your church.
Gladly. I'd like to tell you about it. Would you sit down?
What's this about?
Notice the use of music in the background.
Well, we believe that any man, dead or alive, who keeps the Ten Commandments is a saint.
You don't pretend to be the Lord himself, do you?
No. I'm just a mortal man. Same as you or your friend here.
Well, Lord, here we are again.
They're driven out of Illinois, and it's shown very rapidly, including the death of Joseph Smith. And then the last half of the film has more to do with the pioneer trek to Utah.
That is the way I feel about it. We're figuring that as long as we're heading west, they'll be satisfied.
Thank you.
is the place.
Sky's black with seagulls. They're headed toward the field.
How do you know it was Dean Jagger that said that line? This, of course, is the seagulls and the cricket. You're going to see Porter Rockwell in a minute, played by John Carradine. I just included a moment here to show you Southern Utah in Wagon Master. John Ford, of course, loved this country and made a lot of westerns
ever
down there.
Since. Now, these people...
In this scene, they run into some people running a medicine show. And the stern elder wants to get rid of them, but the Wagon Master, played by... Ward Bond, sorry, the name fell out of my mind, is defending them.
Get out for California.
The poor, handsome man. Being driven out like that with his wife and daughter.
Well, that ain't exactly the way it is, Sister Ledyard. Miss Denver, she's the young one there. She ain't his daughter. Miss Floretti, that blasted fine figure of a woman that she is. Well, she ain't exactly...
That settles it. Give them what they need and let's get on.
I don't believe these people are up to traveling alone.
Well, they will be when they're sober.
Well, we reached the California Trail in 2 or 3 days.
Don't think we ought to take up with our kind of people, Elder.
I'm not leaving them now, and that's flat.
You're hired out to...
Hold on there, both of you. Just calm down. I ain't so sure but what the Lord didn't put these folks in our path for a reason. As I see it, Lord ain't one to waste his energy. Now, he's gone to a lot of trouble getting these people into this fix. And if I was him, I wouldn't want anybody messing up my plans.
Well, putting it that way...
All right.
Back. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
Now, in order to understand this moment, you have to know that the fellow on the left and the fellow on the right are both in love with the same girl on the wagon train. But the guy on the left is not a member of the church. The guy on the right is, but he's not exactly looking for golden moments.
By golly, I bet it's going to be hotter than...
Mind your language.
I wasn't cussing.
You were going to say hell.
I was going to say Hades, but hell ain't cussing. It's geography.
Name of a place. Like you might say Abilene or... Salt Lake City.
Don't you go be making any remarks about Salt Lake City.
Supposing Aunt Marshall catches up with us. Then what?
Ain't likely any posse will look for us in the Mormon wagon train now, is it?
Get there!
Get there! Get there. Get there.
Tell them we are friends. Tell them we come in peace.
Sick kiss, don't okle, jinne. I love La Crana, Conigo. You see that is Lotin.
What's he saying?
As near as I can figure out, he don't seem to like white men. He
says we're all thieves.
Smarter than he looks.
Who y'all not?
Don't tell him that, you fool. Tell him we're Mormons.
Mormon in Dan Lila, she kid out a new woman.
What'd he say?
Says the Mormons are his brothers. Says they're not big thieves like most white men. Just little thieves.
Oh, he's right. Complimentary, isn't he?
He says they're not big thieves like most white men, just little thieves is what he said. For those of you who didn't hear that. It's significant to note that these two films were the last time for a while that Mormons would be portrayed in films as real live human flesh and blood characters. For the rest of these films we show in the westerns here, they tend to be, except for the last one, of course, Brigham, they tend to be more devices used to help build a plot around. They're not like, you know, they're real pioneers or in real situations. This next film, Blood Arrow, is just a B-movie that was shown on the lower half of Double Bills back in the late 50s. Paint Your Wagon, of course, is a big expensive musical based on a stage play, but they even in those films, you'll see, it's really more of a device.
Where do you come from?
East, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey. We're Mormons.
Mormons? Why did you come out here?
We were hounded out of the East. Brigham Young settled with many of our people in Utah. Our group reached Arizona, where our money ran out and our wagons broke down. All of us worked in the mines and the fields to get started again. Then we finally reached Blackfeet Land and found our valley.
You mean after being chased out of your homes, your people are still willing to help others? No, there can't be many people like that.
The religious of all religions are like that.
Around this scene, however, it's just a pretty routine shoot-em-up with cowboys and Indians in the rocks.
What the hell is a Mormon? They don't bloody give a damn how a man prays. There's enough room in hell for all of us. But it just ain't equitable, man. For you to be having two of something, all of us here got none of. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Your mules live, and I got a beauty that cost me $140. I'll swap you straight, my mule, for one of your wives. Now, which one's baby's mother? God knows I wouldn't want to separate mother and child.
I am.
Oh, good. I fancied t'other one I did. This is immoral.
I hope so.
The woman's married. No, she's not. We don't recognize plural marriage in California.
Then I'll bid $250 in gold for her.
$260.
$265. Wait a minute. You can't buy a woman for money.
You just try and get one without it. All right, what about it, Mormons?
Jacob, we need every penny, Jacob. And I can't bear another day of those martyred looks. There it is again.
Ain't a martyr's look, Sarah? Ooh. This look is pure hatred.
Ah!
Brigham Young has 27 wives, and he hasn't had half the trouble with them I've had with the two of you.
Then simplify your life, Jacob. Tell me.
But, Elizabeth, you don't know what you'll get.
I know what I've had.
Gentlemen, out here, I ain't a Mormon.
Look! There's another one! Yeah.
Well, he's a Mormon. He has two wives.
I'll kill him.
They are the farmers. The major wants out.
How come they're unarmed?
Oh, it's part of their religion. They don't believe in violence.
Huh?
Oh, something like that.
Well, how do they manage with the major after you?
Oh, some prayers and broken bones.
Thank you for having aided our sisters, Sarah and Judith. They were innocent doves surrounded by evil. But the Lord heard their prayers and sent you to answer them.
Yeah, it was approximately like that.
Oh, look! It's Trinity!
Ah! Howdy!
But the water's only up to here.
Oh, well, in that case.
Hey, what are you doing? Oh! Ah! You know, when we saw you for the first time, we thought that it would have been wonderful to join our community.
Yeah, it kind of passed my mind, too.
Huh?
Could have lived with us, made a home, with devoted wives to take care of you and serve you.
Wives?
Uh-huh, wives. Didn't you know our faith accepts a state of fact of polygamy?
I am Josiah Widdicombe of Salt Lake City. This is Mr. Gladstone, my assistant.
How do you do?
Howdy. I trust all arrangements have been made that were requested.
Oh, yes, sir, indeed they have.
Good.
We will proceed to the Golden Gate Hotel, and my wives and children will attend the interviews promptly at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Very good, sir. We'll take full care of baggage and transportation.
Thank you, Mr. Weatherly.
Who booked that freak show?
That's the famous Mormon, Josiah Whittaker, and his family.
You mean he's married to that stone club, all those kids his?
Part of his religion. He has very strong beliefs.
Must have a pretty strong back, too.
Now, I need to explain that in this film, Goldie Hawn plays a prostitute, but when she finds out that she could possibly escape with the Mormons, she decides to go undercover and pretend to be a countess or a duchess. And as a duchess, she applies for the job of being caring for the children of this Josiah Whittaker.
Very good indeed.
Now watch Whittaker's eyes as he interviews her privately.
Next room with me that we might discuss financial arrangements. Certainly have a way with children, Duchess.
They do inspire me, Sarah, sir. May I?
Oh, please. May I?
Please.
Yes, you certainly do have a way with children, Duchess. And now, as to the matter of salary.
Oh, anything you say will be all right. As long as I have an hour off a day to read the good book, say my prayers and do my nails.
Well, I think that can be arranged.
For their puerile plans, their feeble intellect, and their ignoble deeds. But I see no faults in the church, and therefore let me be resurrected with the saints. Friendship is one of the grand fundamental principles of Mormonism.
Anybody know who that is playing Joseph Smith? That's right.
Friendship is like Brother Turley in his blacksmith shop, welding iron to iron. It unites the human family with its happy influence. I love that man better that swears a stream as long as my arm, yet deals justice to his neighbors and mercifully deals his bounty to the poor, than the long, smooth-faced hypocrite. I don't care what a man's character is. If he's a friend to me, a true friend, I will be a friend to him.
I want to mention to you that he was billed as Charles Maul on this film. He's billed as Richard Maul on Night Court, of course. And he had more hair there, obviously. This movie attempts to be a remake of the 1940 Brigham Young, but you'll notice that it's really a remake on the cheap. There are several scenes where they want to have big crowds, but they just have a few little people, and they want to have a big wagon train, but they can only afford a couple of wagons. And then at the end, when you see the cricket scene, notice that some of the cricket footage appears to be tinted footage from the old black and white movie.
Sign a man. We'll be the first. We'll plant roots. Deep roots.
Must be Brigham's backyard garden. seagulls look more like flyers dropped from an airplane, I think. Well, from there we move on to contemporary portrayals of Mormons, and most of these are on television. The first one is a film called Solo, based on the true story of a young woman who was piloting a plane that crashed in southern Utah, and I think was the subject, if I remember correctly, of a 3 or 4 day search. And the reason I included a clip here is because this is probably the only theatrical film, this is a Lyman Dayton film, that portrays members of the church specifically, but it also doesn't actually mention the church. Never anywhere in the story or in the movie do they say Mormons or LDS or the Mormon Church or anything like that. But they do, it's very obviously Mormons, though, because they're singing I'm a Child of God in several places, which I'll start off with a clip of that. And also, it takes place down in Price, and it's a very small community. Then we move on to TV movies, which are a little more sensationalistic and which you've probably watched in the last few years. Siege at Marion, of course, is the singer swap situation, I should say. Deliver Them from Evil is the Richard Worthington thing at Altaview. And then Go Toward the Light is a true story of a family in California, an LDS family, with Linda Hamilton, who went on to Terminator fame, and Richard Thomas as a young Mormon couple whose child gets AIDS from a blood transfusion. Included that clip because there's something very interesting here. First of all, it shows a Mormon family saying a prayer, which I don't think we see in any of the other films. But the other thing is that the fact that Jesus Christ is mentioned at the end of the prayer makes it significant in that none of the other movies say anything about Mormons being Christians or allude in any way to Jesus Christ. Whatever else you may think of Lyman Dayton's work in this particular film, Solo, I think it was, in a way, kind of a brave move for him to go ahead and do that, even though he doesn't identify the people in the film as being Mormons. In the next film, in The Line of Duty, Siege at Marion, they do talk about the church in specific terms, and they make a really significant effort to separate this polygamous group, which has been excommunicated, from the Mormon church itself, because that's not always done. It's notable in this particular film. Then when we get to Deliver Them from Evil, notice that when Harry Hamlin, playing Richard Worthington, is talking, they never, ever mention the church. They talk about the church, but they never mention which church. Of course, we know, but I wonder how people around the country thought about that.
Yes! Valley neighbors, controversial Utah polygamist John Singer was shot and killed yesterday in a confrontation with Summit County law officers.
We have the photographs right here. The state, the police, and the church murdered him.
Spectacular, isn't it, Bob? You sort of understand why Brigham Young stopped.
So what's the story with all this?
It goes back 10 years. This whole Singer swap thing is a very sensitive issue to the local townspeople. It's embarrassing to them if the country perceives of swap as a member of their church. The media loves this kind of stuff.
This is unbelievable, isn't it? I mean, they're just sitting down there watching the tube. Sheriff Gray says they got enough food to last a couple of months.
Try a year, they're stockpiled for Armageddon. When the wars come, we shall have to flee to Zion. Joseph Smith.
You still remember that stuff, huh?
I was raised with it. There's great solace in the Mormon texts.
Here you go.
baby girl up there in heaven for my family. I think that was a revelation. And then Dr. Garrett tied her tubes while she was sleeping.
But it doesn't work that way. She had to sign a consent.
No, they tricked her. They did it while she was sleeping.
But you agreed. You know she signed that.
How do you know that?
I didn't. It's standard. It's procedure is all I meant by that.
She died.
He's talking about a baby that died in that hospital.
It's not your fault, Rick. She returned to our Heavenly Father. You know that. Our faith teaches us that. She was a righteous spirit.
And grew up in the valley. Your high school sweethearts. Never dated anybody else. I lettered in football, and she was in the pet club. I grew up in the church. Then when I finished high school, I served a mission to Australia.
My son went on a mission to Australia. He was in Melbourne. How were you?
2.5 years now. My wife has turned into a Rio. One minute she's hot. Next minute she's cold as ice. Ever since that butcher, Garrick. You know what the church teaches? The man is to be the priesthood bearer. The woman is to be the child bearer. Makes me the spiritual head of my household. And for that, I should have harmony. I should have loyalty. What do I get instead?
All national publicity isn't positive publicity, obviously. Now, I mentioned Wagon Master being one of my favorite films in this list. The next film is probably my favorite among the contemporary films, because in this particular movie, they show Mormons, a Mormon couple in particular, as being everyday normal people who have problems just like everybody else. There's nothing really special about this couple, except that they find themselves in an extraordinary situation, of course, that their child has contracted AIDS through a blood transfusion. And when they do finally refer to Mormons in the film, which is about halfway through the film, this is what you see.
You must always remember to have this man.
The Hickman catheter bought us time. Time we needed to prepare ourselves. And time we needed to find the wisdom to prepare Ben. As Mormons, we'd always been taught that death is not the end. That there's only a thin veil that separates this life from the next. But no matter what we believed in theory, in reality, we were still just two young parents who didn't want their son to die.
There's the Ben.
Hi, Ben.
Hi.
Claire.
Hi.
Hi. Greg.
Notice the Book of Mormon in Richard Thomas's hand.
Look how big he's getting. How are things going? Good. Good. That was a fine meeting. Bishop, I wonder if I might come see you sometime soon.
Anytime.
How about this afternoon?
Fine.
You know, Bishop, Ben is such a special boy. I'm not saying that just because he's my son. He's good, Bishop. He cares about people. He worries about their feelings. He's the kind of boy I always thought would grow up to be a fine man. Your boy needs you right now. You gotta take him by the hand and you gotta walk him to the door. But then you've gotta be willing to let him go.
Okay, now these next three are pretty quick clips, and then the next five are pretty quick clips as well. The negative stereotypes. In The Getaway, it's just one quick scene where Ally McGraw goes into a bar, and you'll see the encounter that she has. In Without a Trace, it's the prime suspect in a kidnapped child They find a man who was convicted of being a child molester, and the child's mother, played by Kate Nelligan, confronts him in prison. And then Messenger of Death is a Charles Bronson thriller about warring polygamous groups in Colorado, and they are identified throughout the film as Mormons, although there is a distinction made in one scene, which you'll see. These are pretty negative stereotypes, and you'll see what I mean as we go through them. And then I'm quickly going to go into the one-liners, which are just areas which were specific or vague, and maybe we took them in a different way as they were used in one-liners in these various films that are named on this list.
Say, you wouldn't happen to be a Mormon, would you?
No, I'm afraid not. I'm nothing about
it. Me neither. I'm from Orem. That's right near Salt Lake. There's about 12 people in the state who aren't Mormons, and I'm one of them.
Well, I guess that makes you kind of special.
Yeah, I guess it does.
Becker. Hey, baby.
Just talk to me.
Susan, I may be guilty of many things, but I never hurt anybody who didn't want me to, and I did not ever in any way hurt Alex.
In 1976, you went to jail for sodomizing a minor, for rape, Philippe.
In Salt Lake City, I fell in love with a college freshman. He was a music prodigy. His father was an elder of the church. When his parents found out about us, they had me arrested for rape. I guess they figured if they changed what it was called, they were changing what it was.
You pleaded guilty.
If that surprises you, you don't know much about Mormons or Utah.
I have to see Mr. Beecham.
What do you want to see the prophet about? They have excommunicated us, they say. They... proclaim it from their pulpits in their gold-encrusted temples. But hear me well. Understand me well. Though the Antichrist comes in the guise of a friend, in the guise of your own brother, you must recognize him and smite him. Your own brother, smite him!
Haven't seen anyone pass by recent, have you?
Nobody's gone in front of me. Can't say what's happened behind me, though.
Huh? The engine's put you here?
Twerting Mormons.
It's... Wait a month. Wait a month for me. I am not marrying you. Look, I tell you what. You wait a month for me, and I'll wait a month for you. I'll try to work things out with Marilyn. Somehow, for a month, I'll keep us together if you and Jenny will do the same.
We are not trading baseball cards here. I mean, this is my life, and that's your marriage. Save it for you and Marilyn, not for me.
Look, why can't she move in with you? She against that? She's not a Mormon or anything, is she?
Leo.
Oh, the missus.
What are you doing here?
I already know most of it. I just want to hear the rest from you.
He doesn't read my stuff very well. Let me take a crack at it. Sally Ann and Alan were married 8 years ago. Never divorced, making Stamick a bigamist, even in Utah.
It's a little point am I trying to explain.
Well, yeah, I'll buy that. What about him?
Him? He's harmless. Back in the 60s, he was part of the free speech movement at Berkeley. I think he did a little too much LDS.
LDS?
It seemed real. It seemed like us. And it seemed like... well... our home. If not Arizona, then a land not too far away, where all parents are strong and wise and capable, and all children are happy and beloved. I don't know. Maybe it was Utah.
How much time do we have? We gone? Okay, we're pretty much done. I don't, you know, I said at the beginning, this was something that I've been compiling and sort of working on while doing another big project, so I don't really have any specific cerebral conclusions to draw from all this, except to say that we've obviously gone full circle to some degree because, you know, once those standards that were imposed in the 30s, where they could not make fun of religious groups, fell away completely in the 60s, obviously they started making fun of religious groups again, and we fell into that category. It became a little more serious, I think, in films like Without a Trace and, not really The Getaway. I think there are more than 12 non-members in the state. But certainly Messenger of Death and films like that, which do not make a specific distinction between all these wild-eyed, you know, fanatical break-offs and the church itself. But I have to say that when movies like Go Toward the Light come along, you realize there is a possibility to portray members of the church on the screen as full-blooded human beings. They don't have to be, you know, crazies or idiots or stoic pioneers or, you know, whatever. If they portray them in a modern-day context, it's possible to show them as being just like everybody else, except that they have strong religious beliefs which help bolster them through this life. So that particular film, and as I mentioned, Wagon Master and Brigham Young are certainly the best of the bunch. You can't rent Go Toward the Light, unfortunately. It's not available on video. None of the TV movies are. But you can rent Wagon Master or Paint Your Wagon or The Call Me Trinity, Duchess and Dirtwater Fox, and certainly those films down at the bottom that have the one-liners. And they are kind of fun to go back and look at these and see how members of the church have been portrayed. And, of course, my little plug, you can also buy this right here if you want to. Trapped by the Mormons is available. Again, I don't have any wild conclusions. If you have any quick questions, maybe we can entertain one or two and then go away, or we can just go. The question is there anything in production right now that has to do with Mormons? There are still films that come along every now and then that you don't expect. I saw a film this year, as a matter of fact, that I reviewed at the Tower Roadside Prophets, which is a little low-budget road picture with a couple of punk band members in the leading roles, John Doe and Adam Horovitz. And there's a little scene in that movie where this guy is looking for a casino, and he goes into this motel. It's not in Utah. It's in another state, Wyoming, I think. And he goes into this motel, and the guy sitting behind the desk is composing a little birthday card to his son. And they get into this conversation, and John Doe says to him, "Is there a casino around here?" And he stands up, and he's kind of bristling, and he says, "We don't have casinos around here. We don't believe in gambling. We're Mormons." And so John Doe kind of goes, "Oh, well, I'm sorry, okay." And as he walks away and goes out the door, we see that the gift the guy is getting ready to give his young son for his birthday is a big high-powered rifle that he holds up. So these things do crop up from time to time, and they're surprises like that one is. I'm not aware of any major films about Mormons that are in production at the moment. There have been talk of films, you know, about Mark Hoffman and other things, TV movies, but as I'm aware of at the moment, nothing is going on. Maybe that's better. Well, thank you. I appreciate your attendance. It's been fun.